Amen.
All right, our reading will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, starting at verse number 9. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "He also told this parable to show me to some. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, robbers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humble, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." Amen. Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Don't touch your neighbor, but turn to your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Point at yourself. Look your neighbor square in the eye and point at yourself and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm leaving better
than how
I came.
Neighbor,
I'm leaving better
than how
I came."
What about you?
We have entitled our message this morning, "I'm leaving better than how I came." You see, there's something that we have to see as the people of God who love the Lord, who is the head of our lives. He is the wheel in the center of the wheel. He is our all in all. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is everything that we need. He is the good shepherd. He will be there with us. He will stick closer to us than any brother. He is a mother to the motherless, father to the fatherless. Where would I be if I didn't have Jesus? He maintains me. He sustains me. He provides for me. He makes a way for me. He opens doors that others couldn't. He knocks down walls that are there. But how in the world can we come to church and then leave no different than how we came in? You know, the interesting thing about this particular scripture, and as we look at this, the reality of this situation is that we need to recognize how we ought to come to church, what our mindset ought to be, and realize that we ought to leave this place justified, which means I leave better than how I. But I want you to see something here. Jesus is saying this parable. A parable is a divine story using earthly references to give people understanding of what he is talking about. Jesus here is talking about here two individuals. But this parable is talking about those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. We have to see a parallel in this. Because when we look at our churches of today, there are churches of today who have folk in it who have the viewpoint of the Pharisee. We have folk in our churches who come from the perspective of the tax collector. And what has happened is we're seeing in this particular parable, there is not anybody getting along, but one holding the other in contempt. But what we have to see is that that is not how the church ought to function. Now, who are the two individuals? The Pharisee. They are those who are the teachers of the law. And not just teachers of the law, but they are to abide by the law. Excuse me. And their job is to assist the Jewish community embracing God's will, doing as they are called, and helping folk. But sometimes when folk get in roles, they get a little rambunctious. But then he talks about the tax collector. The tax collectors were also Jews, but they were Jews that were, excuse the term, hated by other Jews, because the tax collector's job was to collect the taxes. But Deacon Elwood, that's a job. But the issue is, if I'm supposed to collect $3 from someone for their taxes, but I charge them $5, then the $3 goes to Rome, the $2 go in my. So the tax collectors were considered to be thieves and robbers. And because of that, many of them didn't frequent the temple. Many of them did not hang around, or definitely wasn't going nowhere near Pharisees or any of the scribes or the leaders, because folk looked at them and knew that they were the biggest sinners there could possibly be. So Jesus uses these two individuals to show us as a church about whose attitude we ought to take on if we want to leave this place better than how we came. What we're seeing is the Pharisee comes. Supposedly he's praying, y'all. Are you working with me? The Pharisee is praying. He walks down into the temple courtyard, comes down as close as he can, get down to the front, and he prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, robbers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, if I can paint this picture for you, I can see the Pharisee coming into the temple courtyard. And he looks around, and what he sees coming behind him is a tax collector that he knew was a tax collector. And he looks at him, sucks his teeth, rolls his eyes like, I can't believe this individual is in our temple. Isn't it amazing that none of us look at folk who come in church today and we say, I can't believe they're up in God's house? I saw them last night. They was drunk as a skunk. And now they're going to come up in church and think that they belong in here. I can't believe they are in God's house. You know, the amazing thing that happens here is that the Pharisee immediately identifies and says, I thank God I'm not like other folk. Thieves, robbers, and rogues, and adulterers. Or even like this tax collector. Isn't it interesting how some folk get excited because they're better than other folk in their own eyes? You see, we have to understand. We have to realize that we haven't come this far because we're all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. We've come this far because God has blessed us with grace and mercy. The one thing that we can't forget is where we have come from. I think when some folk get so high and mighty and forget where they've come from, they forget that their path ain't always been squeaky clean. Well, tell the truth, it ain't squeaky clean right now. So what we're seeing happening with the Pharisee is that he's coming here, he ain't praying to thank God for nothing. He's just coming to say, God, I know I'm that. Look at how I am. Look at what I'm not. I ain't like that sorry tax collector who's in here. I'm better than him. And by the way, God, you know I also fast twice a week. And I give a tithe of all my income. You see, Reverend Rose, I want you to know that the temple was open daily for prayer at roughly the 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. So if you wanted to pray any of those times, you come to the temple. If you could make it, you came. If you couldn't, that's all right. But this Pharisee was all, he was just coming here to let God know just how good a person he really is. Yeah. You see, I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't you forget. You see, we have to understand that all of us ain't start off the way we are right now. Some of us was messed up, toe up from the flow up. Some of us ain't know which way to go. Some of us were almost at the point of death's door, but God's grace and mercy snatched us from there and brought us to where we are. Some of us used to live in a one-bedroom flat, could barely eat off of nothing but some bologna sandwiches and some cereal. But look at what the Lord has done for you. Look at how he's turned you around. Look at how he has blessed you. Look at how he made a way for you. And now that you don't have all that, you look at bologna. I wouldn't eat any bologna, but I just lived off it long enough. That's why I don't eat any cereal. Yes, I understand, because you ate enough of it while you were young. But look at where you are right now. I don't like wearing hand-me-down clothes, because you wore enough of them growing up. If I wear something two or three times, I give it away now. Because Sister Davis, I'm doing so good. I'm doing so well. Pulling up in my brand new whatever. And then all of a sudden, as you pull your car into the driveway of the church, somebody come up into the driveway with a praying car. The one you got to get in and pray, Lord, please let it start. And as they come through the driveway passing you, the car is a sputtering and a muttering and a spitting and a poop poop. And all of a sudden when they pass you, it backfires, some smoke come up. I can't believe they drove this car to church. Smoke everywhere. You see, when we forget what we've come from, you see, because when we first came to church, we came tattered and battered. We first came to church barely able to get in there because sin was kicking our butt. And now that we came in, we said, Lord, I accept Christ into my life. Help this sinner to become a better person. And the Lord has shaped you, molded you, turned you around, healed you, delivered you, made a way for you. Look at how you're living now. But now you want to look at other folk with content.
All right.
Mm-hmm. They might have been traveling now on the road you used to be on. Come on
now.
But you don't want nobody to know that road you used to be on.
All right.
And you look at them like, I can't believe they up in church here.
Well,
I saw them hanging out at the ABC store.
Well,
I saw them over at that place called the Moon something. If you seen these folk at all these places, how you know all these places they've been? Hallelujah! You got to realize and recognize that you ain't perfect. But God has brought you a mighty long way. We can't forget what the Lord has done for us. We don't ever want to act so righteous and trust in our own selves, because we didn't get this far trusting in ourselves. We got this far trusting in the Lord, Brother Red. Where would we be if we didn't have Jesus? How lost would we be? How tore up would we be? Matter of fact, would we still be here? So this Pharisee, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Stay with him. You see, I want you to understand something about this Pharisee. This Pharisee that's praying right now. This Pharisee is making a point to talk about all the good stuff that he's done. How he's not like other folk. And then he wants to talk about how he fasts twice a week. He wants to talk about how he gives a tithe of all his income. You see, all he's doing is deviating. All he's trying to do is take God's attention away from all the stuff he's done wrong and just try to focus on the stuff he's done right. He think he can treat God like he treat people. I'm going to tell you a secret, but don't tell nobody. God already knows all the stuff you done did. God knows what you done wrong. So don't you come up in here thinking you're impressing anybody by just telling and talking about all the stuff you've done good in your life this past week or these past few days, talking about all the good stuff you've done. But you know that in the midst of the good stuff, there was some dirty stuff up in there too. Don't you know that when sin came a knocking, many a times you ain't opened the door, you ignored it. And then there was that one time sin came a knocking, you opened it. But you don't want to talk about that because you know you're just so holy. Hallelujah. You see, this Pharisee is just trying to impress folk. He ain't come to pray. He wants to call it praying, but he wasn't praying. He called himself giving God all of his good stuff that he's done. God, don't think about nothing wrong. Think about all this good stuff. You can't impress God with what you're doing. If you're going to come in God's house thinking that you're arrogant, thinking that you're all that, thinking that, you know what, my stuff don't stink. Oh, you don't think so, huh? When you feel that you've got it all together, that's the time you need to fall on your knees and say, Lord, help me. I'm starting to get a big head. Help me, Lord. I'm starting to look down on other folk. Help me, Lord. I don't want to look at nobody and hold them in contempt. Help me, Lord. I ain't trying to throw no stones. Help me, Lord, to pull the beam out my own eye before I pull the speck out of somebody else's. You see, so when we look at this Pharisee, he came to the temple to pray, but he came to the temple to really lie. What truth is he saying? You see, when you give a half truth, that's a lie. I know, oh Lord, see, somebody getting mad at me right now. If you tell the half truth, it's a lie, because you purposely left out some information. So what we're seeing happening here with this Pharisee is he came to just talk about himself. And then he remembers that tax collector that he knows is in the back. And he makes it a point to point him out and saying, God, I'm glad I ain't like that. Sorry. Who is in the back? But all he's doing is truly bringing God the lie. So when he left that place, he left the same way he came in. He came in arrogant. He left arrogant. But I want you to understand something. What he didn't leave with the thing that he should have been gaining while he was there in the temple. He should have left there justified and blessed and highly favored by God, because he was talking to God about all the stuff he was doing. But what he failed to say is that, Lord, yes, I've done all this stuff right, but Lord, I still made some mistakes. I still stumbled along the way. I still didn't do all that you called me to do. And because he didn't tell God the whole truth, he was telling the lie. And by doing that, he was missing his own blessing. And he didn't leave better than how he came in. Isn't that like some folk who can come to church? Ooh, got it all together. Dot all the I's, cross all the T's. Wear the right outfits, say the right words, talk to the right people. They got it all together. But I'm here to tell you, if you ain't talking to God, if you ain't talking to the Father through the Son, you ain't talking to the somebody working with me. We have to understand that when we're here in church, yes, it's good for us to converse with one another, but Lord knows you ought to come in here conversing with the Lord. Because when you think about all that you had to deal with this week, everything ain't come up smelling like roses. Some stuff came up dirty, stinky, but you came in the church today and saying, Lord, I just thank you for bringing me through another week. I just thank you for continuing to bless me. I just thank you for the some stuff that could have took me down. Lord, you kept me up. I thank you. So no matter how good I was, I still wasn't all that. So Lord, I'm coming into your place with the understanding that the only reason why I am still here, the only reason why I was in the hospital yesterday and now in church today, is called God's grace and God's mercy. When you think about all that the Lord has done for us, we don't get caught up in our positions. We get caught up in the God who brought us a mighty long way. His name is Jesus. He is our all in all. So when I come into church, I say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need your help. Lord, where would I be if I didn't have your grace and your mercy? Where would I be if you gave me what I deserve? So Lord, when I come up in here, I don't come in here thinking I'm all that. I come in here with the understanding I serve a God who's all that. So I come here to thank him. I come here to praise him. I come here to magnify his holy name. Do I got me witnesses in God's house? Anybody like praising God? Anybody know I wouldn't be where I am if it had not been for Jesus? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. But hold on, hold on. I got someplace to go.
Thank you, Lord.
But then I think about the tax collector. The tax collector is like folk we know who've been hell raisers, who done all kinds of stuff. And Mike, what we told him, so not us, but somebody told him, child, if you ever go to church, you're going to burn up by the time you get up in there. All that stuff you did, boy, you go, soon as you go through the door, you're going to light up like a big fire, and God going to burn you up with all the stuff you've done. So to an extent, that's how the tax collectors felt. So that tax collector, God was moving him to come to church. Tasha, when he came to church, to the temple to pray, once he came through the door, he was nervous and afraid, embarrassed, because he was one of those tax collectors who was stealing folks' money. You know how I know he was stealing folk money? Keep listening, you're going to find out. You see, so when he came in, Tosh, he came in, and you know what he wanted to do? He didn't want to be there in the front. He wanted to stay in the back. Because he don't want to bring any attention to himself. But when that Pharisee called him out, he stood up. Stood back by the door and was saying, I knew I should not have come. This man is calling me out. And he's calling me out for what I've done. And I did it. So, whereas he might have been feeling okay for a minute, but now his head drops. He thinks about all the stuff he has done. And as he thinks about the stuff he's done, he can't do nothing but beat his chest because of the stuff he's done. But God is moving him to be here in this temple. He can't lift his head up, but he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you want to leave church better than how you came in, I want you to know, Brother Lieutenant, you got to tell God the truth. God does not play around with words. Because the only way any of us is going to be set free is that you must operate in the truth. You see, God wants to set us free. God wanted to set that tax collector free. And the tax collector was being set free because he was willing to tell God the truth. You see, how many of us come to church and we pray in church, don't want to tell God the truth? You see, we think we're going to get over with God like we get over with folk. I'm here to tell you, Sister Davis, we can't play with God. God is not listening to our mess. God sees past all that, and he's looking right at our hearts. question that we have to also now deal with is when that person who ain't really been coming to church because they told they would burn up when they came, if they came to the church. Brother Johnson, when they come into church, when they walk through that first door, they was taking the temperature on themselves. I ain't hot yet. They now step inside the door. And they look at their clothes and start smelling themselves. Say, I don't smell no smoke. So let me sit down here in the back for a minute. And then when they sit down in the back of the church, they know there's some folk in there who know some of the stuff they done did. Because some of the stuff they done did with some folk in the church. Oh, hallelujah. You might have been delivered and set free, but I ain't set free yet. But you know about some of the stuff I did. That's how come you can talk so definitively about who I am and what I've done. Because the only way you can know that about me is that you had to be in close proximity to me when I was doing some of that stuff. But now I'm sitting in the back of the church and I'm sitting there now starting to sweat and wondering like, well, when am I going to start burning up? But Lord, I'm here because there was something in me that just could not keep me away any longer. I just had to come up in church. I didn't want to come today, but God kept moving something inside of me. God kept touching me. God kept saying, get up and go. I kept telling him no, but I kept moving towards the church, and now I'm in church. Yes. And now that you're here in the church, and now all of a sudden, something starts to happen to you on the inside. Because you start listening to folk who you used to hang with, and Calvin, them same folk you used to hang with who now got their lives together, they look at the back of the church and say, Brother Doorway, I'm so glad you came today. I know how we used to shuck and jive. I know how we used to slip and dip. Back it up. Oh my God, let me stay here. Let me stay focused. But we know all the stuff we used to do. So I'm glad to see you here. Because the same God that brought me through is the same God that can bring you through. Now you're letting Brother Doorway know why he's sitting in that back seat. That my God is merciful and full of grace and mercy. And if he does it for me, he can do the same thing for you. You see, that's the attitude that the people of God take when they see somebody in church who we ain't seen before. But you know some history about. You see, the problem with church today is everybody want to be holy. But everybody don't want to be humble. If you got to tell folk you're humble, you're not. So let's just clear that up. When I say humility is that you understand this. The most holy folk who are in church are the folk who are willing to say, you know what, I know I ain't perfect. All right. I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Yeah. I'm not all the way where I ought to be. But I thank God that I've traveled a whole lot further from where I started. Yeah. You see the problem of Mother Austin? Because Mother Austin is 95 and she's going to turn 96 on August the 16th. Amen. And the one thing I can tell you about Mother Austin, girlfriend's still getting excited about Jesus. She's been traveling with Jesus for what, almost 85 years? 86 years. I got it right now. She's been traveling with Jesus now. That's a long time to be traveling with somebody. And she's still excited about Jesus. Some of us been traveling with Jesus maybe 5, 6, 10 years. And we come to church and say, here we go again. We ought to have excitement every time we come. Because we understand that we only are here because God has blessed us. We only are here because God has delivered us. We only are here because God has healed us. The Lord is the one that took a nothing and made something out of it. So if you're going to truly be holy, what you are willing to do is say, you know what? I've had some struggles this week. And all the tests I had this week, I ain't passed. But I thank God that he's faithful. And I thank God that when I got out of step with God, that means that I was out of rhythm. You ever see some folk back in the day when you go to them dance halls? And you see some folk who can't hold a beat? They go to clap and miss hands. They snap off beat. That means that they're out of rhythm with the music. But that's all right, because you ain't always had rhythm. Hallelujah. See, some of y'all don't want to say, I always had, no, you ain't. But what I'm saying to you is this. When we sin, sin gets us out of rhythm with God. So whereas sin gets us out of rhythm, we don't look right. And we understand that we ain't right. And we understand that we made some mistakes. But in order for us to get back in step and back in rhythm with God, that's when we confess our sins. Because he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us of all unrighteousness. And when we confess our sins, we now get back into rhythm with God. And when folk who are holy in church are able to share how God has brought them through. Now listen, folk don't need a whole bunch of details. Because some folk will be like NBC 12. Work with me now. They don't need a lot of details. All you got to say is just what I said. You know what? I got out of step. And I realized I messed up. I confessed my sin. And God put me back in step or back in rhythm. And once that happens, those folk who have come to church, who have been looking at you, who are still babes in Christ, and think you can't do any wrong, and when they hear you talk like that, they get excited and say, well, you know what? I mess up sometimes too. If they messed up and they've been here umpteen years, then it's telling me that it's a process I got to be willing to go on. And when they're able to see that everybody in the church ain't perfect, well, let me rephrase that. Nobody in the church is perfect. And since none of us are perfect and we're all striving to be better, and folks see that, we have the humility to say, you know what, I ain't perfect. Anybody in here not perfect? Oh, Lord, I got to preach 5 more minutes on that. Do I need to pray? Because some of y'all looked at me kind of funny. Maybe I didn't say it right. Do we have any imperfect people in God's house? Maybe I said that. Well, do we have some imperfect people in God's house? But no, you're imperfect. Aren't you saved in God's house? Aren't you a child of God? Haven't you been washed in the blood? Haven't you been healed and delivered? Aren't you filled with God's Holy Spirit? You see, God doesn't ask us to be perfect. He asks us to strive to get better from one day to the next. And when we're able to give God that kind of honesty, when we come in church, Mother Austin, we understand that, Lord, I thank you for another time. I thank you for what you brought me through. I'm here to worship and praise you. I recognize I've done some good, but I've done some wrong. So, Lord, I come here. I stretch my hands to you. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for giving me this opportunity. So I'm going to praise you. I'm going to magnify your holy name. Thank you for giving me another chance to get right, be right, and do right. Do I got any folk in God's house who thank God for getting it right, being right, and doing right? We ought to give him some praise right now. I know we ain't perfect, but I want to leave here better than how I've come in. Because when I turn it over to the Lord, he will make a way. When I give it to the Lord, he's going to bless me. Anybody in God's house want to be blessed?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know about you, but I want to leave better than how I came.
Hallelujah.
It is a tragedy when a child of God leaves church no different than how they came in. Well, the preacher ain't preached the way I wanted him to. Well, is it all about you and what you want? Or is it all about you trusting in God? Well, wait, we get ready to close the doors, open up the doors of the church in a sec. But what I want you to see here is this. You have to make the decision. For when you come through the doors, Lord, I know you got something in store for me today. So, Lord, if you can bless anything, Lord, I know you're going to bless me. Because, Lord, you can use anything. And I just want you to use me for your service. So, Lord, I just surrender myself to you. And Lord, and what you have for me in this service today, I thank you for it, because you got something for me in this service. And when I leave that service, I'm going to leave better than how I came in, because I realize that God, you have anointed me, you have appointed me, you filled my cup to overflowing, and I am illuminating. I got a joy on the inside. I got a glow in my life. So when I leave this place, some folk going to ask me, why are you so happy? And I'm going to just say, Jesus. If it had not been for him, I don't know where I would be. If you want to know some more about him, sit down. I'll give you a minute. And then I'm going to invite you to our church, because I understand that I serve a mighty good God. He has brought me a mighty long way. He could have left me kicked to the curb, but he picked me up. He turned me around. He healed my body. He redirected my life. He changed my mind. He kept me in the right mind. He is guiding and directing me right now. I got a whole lot to praise God for. What about you, my brothers and sisters? Do you got anything to praise God for? Has God been good to you? Has the Lord been blessing you? Has he turned your life around? Has he blessed your family? Has he done great things for you? Somebody ought to go on and give God some praise.